Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. This is why we call ourselves the busiest sports market in America that nobody knows about. We have the national championship game tonight in college football. Last week, we had the Fiesta Bowl. This coming Saturday night, we'll have the divisional playoffs with the Cardinals hosting Green Bay. It's a great, great city for sports. It's why I love it here. And there's so much going on. My thought is the title game, it's a day of a national title game, and yet the Cardinals and Packers and Vontaze being an idiot and, you know, just all the things around the valley. I don't know, Eric, where do you want me to start today? My gut says I should probably be talking about what's in front of us, but what's in front of us, I'm more interested for. I don't think it's going to be a good game tonight. I wish I could say otherwise.
I think it is going to be a good game.
Do you?
I think Clemson has enough skill to give Alabama some problems. I don't know if Clemson's going to win the game, but I do know that Alabama has been susceptible to giving up deep balls. And Deshaun Watson is the top deep ball passer per the statistics.
He's going to have time to throw the ball, though.
Of any quarterback in the country.
Is he going to have time to throw the ball?
I'm buying in on Clemson. I was sort of skeptical all year round, but now, I mean, they made it this far. 1-2, they're undefeated.
So the offensive line doesn't mean anything to you. Clemson's offensive line against the big, bad Alabama defensive front doesn't mean anything to you.
It's not Dan McGuire back there playing quarterback. It is Deshaun Watson.
I got you.
He has some escapability.
Here's the thing. So when Alabama played Tennessee earlier this year, in the regular season, Tennessee sacked their quarterback 5 times. So it's not as though, and it's not as though this is the best offensive line that Alabama is throwing out there either. To me, it just feels like if Clemson's offensive line can do anything at all against Alabama, then we're going to have a good game tonight. If they can't, then we're just not. Because Deshaun Watson's going to get beat up if he tries to make plays with his feet all night long. He's got to run for his life. He's going to get beat. So
I'm looking forward to it. Tomorrow will be Black Tuesday, but I knew this day was coming. So
no more college football?
No more college football.
Yeah. We're not afraid to say we're college football like 1A1 when it comes to football season.
Yeah. You're either a Saturday guy or a Sunday guy. I'm a Saturday guy. I mean, I love the NFL. Trust me. I watched almost all the games over the weekend, but I will miss my college football.
So I did not see much. No, I didn't see any of Houston and Kansas City.
You really missed nothing.
That's what I heard.
Just turn on SportsCenter. They'll replay all the highlights.
So my 11-year-old,
all of which were Kansas City, by the way.
Yeah, my 11-year-old had his first club water polo tournament in San Diego. So I've realized this, guys, if you're going into the space of being a club sports dad, okay, it doesn't matter if it's daughters or sons. I've done club volleyball. I've done club softball. I've done club soccer. I've done wrestling. I've done with my kids. This is my first foray into club water polo. Doesn't suck. When you're in San Diego and you're by a really nice pool and the matches start on time and the parents are not nuts and the skill and the caliber of play is really good. And I'm starting to figure it out. Like, water polo has wrestling, lacrosse, and basketball as the rules. It's kind of a combination of the three. So I was at water polo watching my son score his first 2 goals ever rather than saying I watched the Chiefs play the Texans. You know, that's where I'm at in life. So, but I did see almost all of the Steelers-Bengals game. And to that point, look, Vontaze Burfict was enabled when he was at Arizona State. He was. If you go back and look at the bio, if I were to Google it right now, because I did over the weekend, of when he first arrived, and I remember some of the conversations from people in the football department and outside of the football department that were linked to Arizona State Athletics about how simply amazing and how awesome and how great it was that they landed a player as highly regarded and as highly talented as Vontaze Burfict. And before he got out of Arizona State, he was Danny White, the great Danny White, told me on the air in an interview that Vontaze Burfict is a coach killer. And he was right. Dennis Erickson got fired. I think Vontaze was right in the middle of getting Vontaze fired. Vontaze probably wiped Lisa Love out too, which in hindsight was a good thing for Arizona State Athletics. But there were still people that were giving me you don't understand how difficult his upbringing was and how difficult his life was. And look, College is about giving kids an opportunity. I am for that. But that doesn't excuse behavior over and over and over. When Vontaze Burfict did things that were cheap shots and personal fouls over and over and over at Arizona State and was never, never made available to explain himself after each and every game, as every college player should be made available to explain themselves. If you're trying to hide somebody from the media, which Arizona State was with Vontaze Burfict, it's going to come back somewhere down the road. And through this year, it doesn't matter if it's the guy at Carolina whose ankle he was trying to twist or the time he hurt Ben Roethlisberger or what happened on Saturday night when I heard the words Vontaze Burfict is out of control, and knowing guys like Jim Nance and Phil Sims enough that their conversation off the air was probably really, really interesting versus on the air where they're trying to just be professional about it. And then they finally both lost it at the end. And unfortunately, in the world of television where the game ends and they go to the studio show. Eric, did you see the studio show from CBS after the game?
I did not. I turned the game off as soon as it ended.
Okay, so the game ends, and I was with my wife and my mother-in-law, and I'm watching this, and I said, before you guys turn it, can I watch this post-game show? Because I want to hear what all these former players are going to say. Boomer Esiason and Shannon Sharp and James Brown and, you know, whoever it is that's on that show. I don't even know all those guys. So, unfortunately, the game ended at like 8:57. This is important for context because they came on like at 8:58 and everybody around the table just completely destroyed, eviscerated, annihilated Vontaze with their 10-second sound bites. And then it was, and for more, go to CBSSports.com. Good night, everybody. There was not the 1 hour of, please, let's explain this space by space. I had some people who were texting me about, can you believe Deion Sanders is trying to defend Vontaze Burfict? No, I can't. Sure, I can. I can understand that. Because there's always going to be the contrarian. Oh, no, he was just trying to get his arm out of the way when he took the cheap shot. Sure he was. And, oh, it's Joey Porter's fault. And then I run into fans that are fans of other teams that don't like the Steelers. It seems like the Steelers always get the breaks, Brad. And why is it we can't get the breaks? None of that stuff matters to me. What matters to me is what type of suspension will Vontaze Burfict get? I had a former Pro Bowl linebacker who sent me a text yesterday that said he'll be out of the league soon. Some people don't like to hear that stuff. If you're one of those that is, oh, that's just the NFL and that's what it's all about, knock yourself out. I don't think you get the NFL. There is respect. I'll turn it around. So when the kicker for the Vikings ends up barfing all over his shoes and hooking a 27-yarder to the left, and you see Seattle players coming up to him afterwards, they're not saying, eh, you suck. No, they're not saying that. When you see the national outpour towards a kicker who missed something because every player's in that spot of letting their team down, and the kicker took full responsibility. I heard Vontaze. There's like three little sound bites of Vontaze afterwards, and all he went into was, I don't know, man, I don't know.
And don't forget, Brad, about Adam Pac-Man Jones. I know he doesn't want to be called Pac-Man anymore, but after Saturday, I'm just going to keep calling him Pac-Man. Like, moments after the game ends, he goes on social media and lists this gigantic, expletive-filled tirade about how bad the refs were and how they cost us the game. It's, you know,
he blew off the media. And some of you guys don't like media, but there's a space where we are there to relay the information to you. So when you refuse to go speak to media and you just want to go get in your car and put out what you think rather than be impressed, that is the ugly side of social media. It's a cop-out. You're never going to put up there, I was wrong, I made a mistake, it's on me. This goes back to Robert Sarver's rant last week where I think that there is some truth to what he was trying to explain. He just ill-founded, to put it in terms with a team that stinks.
And there was a cynical side of me that when...
Really?
When Vontaze intercepted the pass,
yeah,
got up and ran from the 20-yard line all the way back through his end zone, down the tunnel towards the Bengals locker room, there was a small part of me that says, oh, I can't wait to see that replay. Please don't let him be down by contact. Because he would have done that, and he would have ran through the opposite end zone, it would have been a touchback.
Yeah.
And it would have been, like, to a much lesser degree, like Leon Lett 2.0 of just the most boneheaded, selfish, look at me, I'm better, I'm bigger than the team moment in the playoffs.
I don't know when, you know, the whole thing about celebration. So Larry Fitzgerald, and he's at a different position. There's been some stuff about Larry this year, and it's not been negative, saying, boy, is he fired up. Man, is he showing emotion. Yeah, he is. I think he's enjoying the process. But when he scores a touchdown or makes a big catch, he immediately gets up and just tosses the ball back to the official. He doesn't need to do first down.
It's a natural emotion. It's not a forced. It's not a look at me. Yeah. Hey, look at me over here celebration.
Yeah.
It's a I'm excited. I just made a big play for my team.
What's funny about it is the cop out is, well, it's just today's generation. You know, you're starting to sound like an old guy because you're 50. Well, A, I am old in terms of number, but I'm around kids and I see plenty of players, and it doesn't matter college, pro, high school, race, religion, even financial wherewithal, that are just, they've just been taught the right way. Just give the ball back. When a guy is losing 30-7 and he does a sack dance because he got a sack with a minute to go in the game, just shut up.
And some celebrations are fine, Brad. Like when Gronk scores a touchdown and he tries to basically knock all the air out of a football and a spike, I'm okay with that. Because it's fast. It's not, like you said, it's not, hey, look at me, I'm over here.
When Russell Wilson threw the touchdown yesterday for Minnesota, okay, or the pass that set up the touchdown and then the touchdown to Baldwin, it's a simple pump of the fist. I mean, it really is just a simple pump of the fist. And, you know, the Vontez from every angle, you talk about him running up the tunnel, there was that brief moment where I'm thinking he's going the wrong way. There was that moment where the clock stopped or did the clock keep running, okay? If you go back and look at how much time was left on the clock, did that singular play end up costing the Bengals? You look at Marvin Lewis, who tried to father Flanagan, Vontez Perfect. Just so we're clear, okay? The greatest linebacker and all that stuff that was written about Vontez when he came to Arizona State, and he wasn't drafted, and the national televised game against Oregon, what was it, 3 or 4 personal fouls? He didn't explain himself. He wasn't made available to explain himself. I almost lost friendships over Vontez Perfect with people at ASU. They were so upset because I'm pointing this stuff out. But that's my job. And so what I saw out of him Saturday night was nothing different. When you're enabled, you don't have people that say, no, we're not going to tolerate that. I remember going to a charity event after Vontez was done at ASU. And he was a bouncer. This is after he didn't get drafted. So clearly he needed some money. And it was a charity event. And I'm like, and some of the guys that put the event on said, yeah, we got Vontez as a bouncer. It was sad. So I look at this differently and say, where's this guy going to be? Where's this guy going to be when the NFL is done? Because I don't see where this is going to end well for him. Sports360AZ.com. We partnered with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. More on the game tonight, the national title game. Paula Bovin's going to be with us for news and notes. We'll start getting into the Packers a little bit more back onto the field. Ivan Mizell's supposed to be with us. He just won the McGrain Award here in town, one of the best in the business, ESPN.com, senior college football writer. We may get him, we may not. But he's right in the middle of an award ceremony. I'm Brad Sussmann.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Now on to more pleasant matters, and that is the Packers playing the Cardinals. So watching Washington and Green Bay, and Friday we sat here and went through the possible matchups, whether it be the Vikings or the Packers or the Redskins. And I felt having a rematch with Green Bay would be a good game for the Cardinals, even though they beat them earlier this year. Look, when you get to this point in the playoffs, it's not like this is an easier path or an easier road, but I just see that Green Bay was able to run the football yesterday. They weren't able to run the football against the Cardinals, okay? And Washington's defense is good, not great, in my opinion. The Packers do look like they have confidence. They do look like they have their swagger. It doesn't matter if you're trying to sell tickets to just Arizona fans. You hear about this, Eric? So the Cardinals have a deal set up where fans can purchase tickets if they show their Arizona zip code between 10 and noon. So between 10 and noon, because we want to make sure that it's not Green Bay Packer fans that come rolling in. Well, good luck with that. It doesn't matter what you try. There's going to be so many Green Bay Packer fans here on Saturday night, and that's fine. That's just how it works. So, you know, watching the game yesterday, I felt like the Packers, as the game progressed, got their confidence. It did look early in the game like there were a couple of punches coming, a couple of roundhouses that were coming in on Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. And so the Cardinals will get Green Bay. They will get them this Saturday night. It's a much more confident team than what we saw. So very much looking forward to that. We'll talk more about it with Paula. In terms of tonight, the national title game, you know, after everything that we have talked about and all the guests that we've had on, we've gone through all these angles around the game. And the bottom line for Arizona is this is terrific to have another big event here tonight. No, all the angles around the game, all the buildup, all the guests that we've had on and trying to break down the game from one play to another, all I know is from the 20-plus years I've been here, to go from the national title game tonight to the Super Bowl last year and a year from now against the national title game in March Madness, to have all this buildup around Arizona, it's terrific. And this is what we are striving for, and I'm very proud. Just have to take a moment for the city fathers to say congratulations and actually working together. There was a time where you couldn't get the Fiesta Bowl people and the Cardinals to agree on the color of water at Sun Devil Stadium. They hated each other so much, okay? That's just how it was, and things have changed positively, even through the downs and the ups of the Fiesta Bowl. So I'm very pleased with that tonight. Just got to get that up front. And then the game itself, we've talked to all the guests around it, but I think it comes back to this. Is this a start of something long-term for Clemson? Is the offensive line of Clemson going to be able to take care of the defensive front of Alabama? Those are a couple things that we get different responses from everybody all around on this one. Ivan Maisel's with us now, ESPN.com senior college football writer. He just won the McGrane Award, and he is off stage now. Ivan, it's Brad Sesmak. Congratulations on the award, first of all. How are you?
Well, Brad, thank you. That's very kind of you. I'm fine. I'm excited. There's a rumor that the game will actually be played soon. So it's been great to be out here, but I'm ready to watch a football game.
Okay, so from your standpoint, what is it that you're looking for in tonight's game for this to be competitive?
Well, I think it will be competitive. I think both, you know, I think they're both really good teams, and what I like is the mental attitude of both of them. They've got two very positive coaches and who have convinced their teams that they're good enough to win, and I think that means it will be a competitive game in my mind because they're both very talented, and they're both going to be mentally ready to play. You know, on the field, I think we'll see a lot from Derrick Henry, you know, between the hash marks. And then it'll be whether, you know, and conversely, can Alabama keep Deshaun Watson between the hash marks and make him win the game without his feet and legs? And can they get to him and hit him? So that's kind of be the things I'm looking for.
The offensive line of Clemson against the defensive front of Alabama, it feels to me like either, and every person we've talked to has had different views on that, that A, Clemson can handle them, or B, they cannot, and that's where the game is going to be lost. You can always go back to games are always won and lost in the trenches. It doesn't matter the teams. But just look at that matchup, Alabama defensive front against Clemson's offensive line, Ivan.
Well, it's not just the Alabama defensive line. It's the three levels of the Alabama defensive line. The fact that they can send fresh bodies at those five offensive linemen over and over and over for four quarters. And that's unprecedented in a game with 85 scholarship players that anybody has been able to put together this level of of athlete on the defensive front, you know, three lines worth. And that's been a big key to Alabama's success, and especially over the second half of the season as they've gotten better and better, as Nick Saban's teams do. So it's a big test for the Clemson O-line, absolutely.
Deshaun Watson, when you watch him play, does he remind you of anybody?
That's a good question. Not really, just because he's an unusual package. I mean, he's tall and rangy, but he hadn't filled out yet because he's so young. And that's what I wonder about a little bit is, as good as he is, and he's had an incredible year. He may weigh 215 pounds, but you know, are they going to hit him? And if they do, is he going to get up? And it's hard to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard to hit him. That's what makes him so valuable and so dangerous. But this is a big group of defensive linemen. So that to me is going to probably tell the tale of the game.
Ivan Maisel, ESPN.com, senior college football writer, one of the best in the business. He won the prestigious McGrain Award earlier today. He joins us here on the program. Any chance this is Nick Saban's last game, Ivan?
No, it's his last game this season. he's still hungry. He's still got the fire, and he's really enjoyed this team. You can see he's talked about it. It's rejuvenated him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The way they've responded, how hungry they've been, in any number of ways that you can see it, you know, and he's thrilled. His face lights up when he talks about this team, and Nick Saban's face doesn't light up very often. So he'll be back.
Dabo Swinney, for fans who have not seen him, and I'm talking specifically to those here in Arizona that may not be too familiar with him, what kind of guy is he? I mean, on the surface, seems like fun-loving, very loyal to his players, a lot of enthusiasm, great X and O guy. What is it about Dabo Swinney to you?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. What you see on the surface is what he is, because he holds nothing back. I mean, it's his great strength. And as he's been able to harness it and grow into the role of being a collegiate head coach, his team has grown and prospered with him. And he's a fascinating guy.
Mm.
He's inspirational. He loves what he does. He loves his players and all that. It's very easy to discern, and it's what makes him tick and what makes Clemson tick.
Is this the start of something long-term for Clemson? Much, you know, we see Alabama going for 4-7. Is Clemson in that space where you could see them go on an extended run?
Well, all the pieces are in place. I mean, one of the little known facts about this team is that they have 42 freshmen and redshirt freshmen, and yet they've been able to get, you know, within 60 minutes of the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a staff. Seven of his nine assistant coaches have been there at least 4 years. So, you know, he's got that stability. He's got a fan base and a culture that loves football and puts it first. That's important. I mean, everything's in place. You know, you never know, you know, what's going to happen, who gets hurt, you know, what coach leaves. But everything looks like Clemson is in it for the long haul.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you a couple questions about what's going on here in our state. Talking with Ivan Maisel, ESPN.com, senior college football writer, one of the best in the business. When you look at Arizona and Arizona State, what do you see going on out here so far, Ivan, under Graham and Rich?
Well, you know, they both took a step back this season, but, you know, they've been successful. They've won everywhere they've been. They've won here. They haven't made that biggest step. You know, Rich got close in 2014. They are kind of at a crossroads in the sense that, you know, Rich has decided he's staying in Tucson and he's now got to revamp his defensive coaching staff. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's an important offseason for the Cats. In Arizona State, you know, they've got their defensive issues too. And you can say, well, that's the state of the Pac-12 today, the way offenses are, but that's not necessarily the case. I mean, Stanford has been able to build a physical team that can score points and play defense. And you know, so it's certainly possible. And I think they're playing good football here. They just, we'll see what happens, and can they get back to where they've been the last couple of years?
Can either one of these programs, Ivan, in the Pac-12 South, become year in and year out? You mentioned Stanford earlier, and I think David Shaw is one of the best in the business, and we see what he does year in and year out with a Cardinal. But can the two schools here in Arizona ever become consistent, or USC and UCLA are never going to have the bottom fall out on them, and we should just be happy when we have that occasional 10-win season here in Arizona?
Well, listen, if Stanford can do it where, you know, based from where they were 10 years ago, anybody can do it. You know, I mean, there's good football played in the Valley, good high school football. I mean, both schools have a history of recruiting hard in Southern California and when their teams are good. So the formula is there. It's just a question of executing it. And it's hard because you're in a division with USC and UCLA. But, you know, you're also in a division with Colorado and Utah, so there aren't as many hurdles. And Utah's been very good of late. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's not all that difficult. You know, and both teams have had success in the past. It can be done.
I'll let you go off that. We appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brent.
Ivan Mizell with us for a couple of minutes, ESPN.com senior college football writer. I've talked with Ivan through the years, and it's good to hear his voice. And the winner of the McGrain Award today, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist, joins us on the other side on the Cardinals, Packers, and much, much more. Stay with us.
You the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussman.
My friend Paula Bovin joins us now for a couple of minutes. Columnist, AZ Central Sports, a teacher now. So today was, Paula's advancing, and here's the thing. When you come on this show or you're part of this show, you know that I'm going to delve into your personal life. So if you want me to shut up, too late. You were teaching today at ASU, correct?
That's correct. My first day as a teacher of a master's sports writing class.
Master's sports writing class. So how many students?
There were 14 students, and it's a new degree now ASU is doing where you can get your master's in about a year in sports journalism. It's actually a very cool thing, and I was really impressed with the level of knowledge of these students already. We had Rudy Carpenter was nice enough to come in for the final hour because I wanted the students to interview somebody and then write about it. And, you know, Rudy will say what's on his mind.
Yes.
It was really, really good.
He is, he's unfiltered. So do they call you Mrs. P? Do they call you Paula? How formal are you as a teacher?
No, I hope they're not listening, but I'm a pushover as a teacher. I just am having them call me Paula. They could call me professor, but it just feels weird to me.
If I call you Prof Paula, if I just say, hey, the prof is with us, you're okay with that?
No, I'm okay. It makes me sound important. Yeah, absolutely.
Shut up. Get out of here. What do you mean sound important? You are. Are you going to fail any of these students? We'll get to the football in a minute. I just have to get the ground rules clear since you're teaching now.
You know what, hey. I may be a pushover, but the Cronkite School is not.
Yeah.
And, in fact, if you any issues with plagiarism, you make too many mistakes, you are in trouble or you are out of there. So they're very, you know, they want to prepare people for the real world. In fact, someone over there mentioned they were going to start recruiting you to possibly teach there, Brad, so we'll have to talk about that.
I know. That's what I've been hearing that. Here's the thing, though. When it comes to grammatical errors and all that, you would just fail our entire staff here at Sports 360, which is fine. It's fine. We'd all except Eric. It's the thing. Spell check and grammar check doesn't work. Yeah, they've talked to me about doing something over there. We'll see. My problem is I sit there when they have me come in and guest lecture, and I'll look at these people and say, most of you are not equipped to do this. Most of you will quit by the time you're 30. Most of you want to have families, and if you want to be in this business, this is not a great place to have a family day in and day out. And most of you are going to have to go to El Paso or Yuma, and most of you don't. So they want me to come
in.
You're
a real downer, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, they want me to come in and say, you're going to make millions and all of you are going to be on ESPN or you're all going to be doing Monday Night Football. And most of you have no shot at even getting out the front door, but it's fine.
But they'll definitely hear some real life lessons from me. I remember my first like $18,000 a year job and some of the tough things we had to do. But
I thought that's what you're. That's what you're making now, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so is it good that the Cardinals are playing a team that they beat the tar out of just a few weeks ago this coming Saturday, or would you have rather seen the Redskins win?
Oh, if I were a Cardinals fan, I would rather see the Redskins. I think that, didn't you notice that, like, Spring and Aaron Rodgers stepped there in the second half of the game? It was like, finally his receivers were open and healthy and
caught the ball.
Pressure maybe that he's been pat. He just seemed like a different guy to me. I still think the Cardinals are the team to beat by far, but I think the Cardinals would probably rather see the Redskins.
Yeah, so I guess.
Or would they play Minnesota? I guess it all depends on how everything was.
Yeah, it would depend on how it all turned out. So,
yeah.
So I feel as though. Look, it doesn't matter how it plays out. You can sit there and hope and wish that Packer fans are not going to show up for the game on Saturday night. Good luck with that. If somebody wants to scalp their tickets and pay for their electric bill, it's their business. It's not about protect the nest and all that nonsense to me. Aaron Rodgers does look much fresher. And look, when the Cardinals played the Packers, they were without two of their best offensive linemen. So Rodgers was getting just thrown around like a doll by Freeney and Calais on that day.
It was like seven or eight sacks, if I remember correctly.
Right. So, to me, it's just, look, you got to line them up. You have to play them. I'm not going to sit here and fret over it and go through the what can they do differently. The one thing, though, Paula, that Green Bay was able to do yesterday to me that they weren't able to do against the Cardinals is run the ball. If they're able to run the ball like that on Saturday night, the Cardinals are going to get beat, plain and simple.
Well, yeah, certainly, and that, that added element that opened up things for Rodgers, too, that having that such a balanced attack. Yeah, I think, the defense is going to have its best game, or one of its best games, because this is a different Packers team than the one that lost 38-8 or whatever. A lot of attention is going to, once again, be on whoever we see opposite Patrick Peterson, whether it's Bethel or some of the different moves that they'll be making defensively. So, yeah, it's stopping that run, but it's also, that defensive backfield has to be on its toes.
Talking with Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, the prof, with us for a couple of minutes, day one of her getting her work done at ASU. So how culpable is Arizona State for Vontaze Burfict's behavior all these years later?
Oh, Vontaze Burfict is responsible for Vontaze Burfict. Now, I think it probably, in fact, I'm sure it didn't help with what went on under Erickson. I think because he was so valuable, they were not as disciplined as they should be with him. But I cannot get over the lack of accountability with this guy. I know he suffered by in the draft because of this. He lost a lot of money. And you think those kind of lessons would make a difference, but there is something that happens to that guy on the football field, some emotional, new level that he goes to where he cannot prevent himself from doing what he's doing. And, here he is putting a guy who really respects, Marvin Lewis, possibly his job in danger. It's crazy to me. But, I think there's some responsibility on ASU's part in the sense of the message of discipline get through, because guys can change from college to the NFL. We talk about Honey Badger a lot, and he was different. He was smoking a lot of weed and all that stuff, but you can change. You can reinvent yourself in the NFL, and Burfict, talk about a guy who had a perfect opportunity. He's a great player. He's so talented. They could market him, he's that kind of mean Joe Green kind of personality. You think, what a tough guy or whatever, but he's blown it. He's just blown it.
I had a former Pro Bowl linebacker send me a text yesterday saying he'll be out of the league soon. And this player said to me, my biggest fear is what's going to happen with the rest of his life. And I think that's very fair to wonder. One.
That's a great point. Yeah, definitely.
Well, and your point about Tyrann Mathieu, that's a good call. I would say the difference was Burfict, they never sat on him here, and they never made him accountable. So when you get, what was it, 3 or 4 personal fouls when they played Oregon, and he wasn't made available to speak afterwards, which every kid should be made available to speak, not just who we decide should speak. Every kid should be asked, what were you thinking? Why did you do that? Because you know what? The next time around, maybe that won't happen. When I get pictures sent to me on my phone when he's in Vegas for the Vegas Bowl and he's out front of a casino and he's got a couple bottles of Jack in either hand, I'm supposed to look at that and say, okay, this guy really has been made a better person here at this university. I mean, he got Dennis fired. He was a coach killer. I sent you the note yesterday. And and he got Lisa fired, which is probably the best thing that could have happened to ASU. But he's not gotten through anything in life that he wasn't going through 8, 9 years ago. And all I was told at the time was, oh, you don't understand how tough of an upbringing he has. We just can't put him out there. That's inexcusable.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it a lot. Coaches feel like they can save guys, and sometimes they can. But sometimes saving them means tough love. And there was self-discipline by Burfict, but clearly not enough because, you know, I mean, stuff was happening all the time behind the scenes. There were fights. I saw him yell at some fan/booster who was watching practice one day for what seemed like no good reason at all. You know, obviously the message didn't get out there because he, to this day, he wasn't held accountable enough. And it seemed like that happened a little bit with Cincinnati, too. And he just thinks he can get away with things.
Who do you like?
He doesn't know how to dial it down.
Sorry about that. Who do you like tonight? Alabama or Clemson?
I think Alabama, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's
really.
Hopefully this game will make up for the rest of the, you know, the postseason and the semifinal games. I just think it's a good matchup of a great offense versus a great defense in Alabama, and I'm looking forward to it.
That is the Prof, Paula Bovin, with us for a couple of minutes. Thanks, Paula.
Thanks, Brad.
Bye. Paula Bovin there. Did I say a couple of minutes like 5 times in that interview? Eric's been on me lately about my I've fallen into
You've been better. I mean, you caught yourself a couple times during the show.
Yeah. Well,
and I nod my head in approval when you do, and then I put my hands over my head in disgust when you don't.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's a lazy
I've got an idea though. I've got an idea for you.
Tip jar?
Nope.
Yeah. What do you got?
I just have an idea.
Well, what is it?
I can't tell you now.
Why not? You want me to do it on the other side?
No.
In a couple of minutes?
It's something subtle.
In a couple of minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic.
I don't get paid enough for this job. You
I'm
realize
Brad,
that, right?
I'm Matt. Back with more in a couple of minutes after this timeout.
In a couple of minutes?
In a couple of minutes. You a bow guy, Eric?
Fine.
Yeah? Just fine?
Yeah. I mean, I've always liked his music. I don't have any of it, but...
Give me a little more of this, Jared. Go ahead and crank it up. It's fine. David Bowie passed away today. This is good stuff. Modern Love. This is one of those driving songs for me. I don't know if I'd say he's my most favorite. He's good. I like David Bowie. Remember
most favorite or your favorite?
Most favorite. A favorite. Are you correcting my grammar again? What are you, the grammar police today?
I'm not the one talking. You are.
It's Monday. All right? I tried something new this morning. I got up and did a 5:45 spin class. Yeah, me and a spin class this morning. I'm tired. I need to go home and take a nap.
You shouldn't be tired. You posted pictures over the weekend of you staring at a beautiful ocean. So
it wasn't bad. It didn't suck. How's that? That's a line from Arthur.
It was cold and rainy here, so I hope you enjoyed your time.
I'm going to go to the game tonight, and I'm probably going to sit in section 428, row Z.
Are you leaving like within 5 minutes to beat traffic at 10:55 a.m.?
We're going to. So the thing about these title games, it's great to go. I'm not complaining, but we don't sit like Ivan Maizel, who was with us earlier, will sit in a very good seat because he's Ivan Maizel. I'm a local guy who didn't go to Clemson or Alabama, who has a digital media company in Arizona and a daily show. It's all important, but not when the New York Times needs like 5 seats. So it's fine. We'll be sitting near the top. I'll be one of those guys that may take a picture of the roof tonight and says, hey, the roof, why do we have a roof in Arizona?
It's not bad, though,
Brad. Touch it.
Look at it this way. We have, what, five people on staff, and we got two credentials for the national title game.
Means
pretty
we're
good.
Important.
Unless, yeah, we're well-liked. I don't think we're important.
Unless
we're
they put us out in a tent, you know, like in the parking lot.
Yeah, poor Jared. Jared's going to have to watch the game from, like, outside the building.
That's the thing about this is people think, so you guys are watching and it's, man, he gets to go to this game. Yeah, we get, you know, a nice seat. I'm not complaining, parking, all that stuff. But like the Super Bowl, when Channel 3, when I was at Channel 3, we went to the Super Bowl. We were on the top of the stadium. Like we were in row W. And Arizona's playing Pittsburgh, but we're there to cover, and we had to be there 4 hours before kickoff, and we had to sit on a metal bleacher, and they brought us a box lunch. And you couldn't leave the stadium to do anything. Now, they let us down in the field for the final 6 minutes of the Super Bowl, and Larry Fitzgerald's trying to beat the Steelers and all that. I mean, it was awesome. I'm not going to complain about it. But it's not like every game we're down there on the field. And after a while, you go to certain events. Like, I'm really looking forward to this game tonight and want it to be a close game. But I unfortunately, in the back of my mind, it's Alabama should just chew up and spit out Clemson in every way, shape, and form. I will see NFL guys there tonight. I will want to ask those NFL guys, okay, tell me from Alabama and Clemson who's not getting the most run, who is a riser up on the charts. I'll see a lot of guys in the college football fraternity from a media standpoint, and former players. You'll see former players. I think Jake's going to be out there. I'm going to try to meet up with Jake in the parking lot and some of the other guys and just, you know, have a great time and celebrate the fact that, once again, Arizona has another huge event. We have the Final Four, the national title game in college basketball, next March. Not this March, but March of 2017. After that, we don't have anything coming up. And it's very important that we keep the pipeline moving on this. We'll have the semifinals next year in college football, okay? But I want more of these events. This is what makes us special. We do great jobs around big events. We just do. So that's my little rant to our civic leaders. And, you know, when you see the governors and the mayors and that, you want to let them know, keep pushing forward. And for you guys as sports fans, I know you like watching it. You're going to hang out with your buds, put some money on the game and all that stuff. But think big picture. You know, you can all be involved. You can. You can go be a volunteer out of the game. Are we, before we get out of here, are we playing lotto this week? Should we take some of the budget, some of the leftover budget?
I would say no. Because I'm going to be that guy when you and the company wins the lottery and I say, nah, I don't want to give you my $5. I'll be the one that will be working until I'm 96 years old. So,
well, I think we should. If I gave you the money to go stand in line with all these poor saps that have been standing.
Sounds like something you'd make me do.
Could I make Jared do it? I don't know. I think we should play. It's a billion. If you took the $1 billion and you divided it up among everybody in the United States, poverty would be over. We'd be fine. We would just be fine. At least that's what it says on social media, so it must be true.
We had this conversation last week, remember? Yeah. If we win, .. what would we do first?
I'd show up here at work the next day.
Yep. What, by helicopter?
I wouldn't be on time, but I'd show up. I'd be up here to clean my desk out.
And by the way, just a quick side note, because I know people like hearing about this stuff. I guess the secondary market for Alabama-Clemson is very underperforming.
Well, Darren Revelle, I saw this.
For tonight's game, and a lot has to do with the price of airline tickets from the East Coast out to the Valley have skyrocketed. Thus, the secondary market, people interested in buying those tickets are not.
They're getting below face value, right?
That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah. So. That's why if at halftime it's 24-0 Alabama, this game is going to do a horrible number and people are going to say, oh, the system's broke and all that stuff. So I just want a competitive game. Tomorrow on the show, Peter King and Steve Keim. Steve Keim is going to be with us from the Cardinals tomorrow. Look forward to the general manager being with us.
And Brad Edwards.
And Brad Edwards tomorrow.
Oh, busy show tomorrow.
Gosh, almighty, we're too busy. Our content is up on our website, sports360az.com. Sports360az.com. Check it out if you just found us. Welcome on board. We partner with the Arizona Republic every day. AZ Central Sports.
And the Cardinal game sold out.
Cardinal game
just
sold
like
out.
Just like that, sold out.
Stunning. Like it wasn't going to be.
I know. But who would have thought, like, within an hour, the game was sold out. But so good luck. Again, secondary market tickets, those will probably be a little bit more in demand.
Yeah. They'll do a 2-for-1. Have yourself a great day.